Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Carver Watson with Let's Talk.
We acknowledge the sovereignty of all First Nations people right across the country, particularly the local traditional owners, the Yuggera and Turrbal people, and all the surrounding mobs, the Yugambeh, Quandamooka, Gubbi Gubbi and Yugurupal peoples. I'm joined in the studio this morning by none other than Mr. Bo Spirum. Good morning, Bo.
Good morning. How you going?
I'm going good. We're on the fly this morning.
Yes, we are.
But lucky for us, mate, there's a lot of things happening all around the country that we can talk about.
Definitely. There's, there's never a topic, that we can't talk about.
That's right.
It's always a, somewhat open slather when it comes to our people, it's always important that, we lead that discussion.
Absolutely. But to start off, tell us who you mob and where your country.
Yep. So, Bo Spirum, Gumaroi, Kuma and Marawari. My mum is from Brewarrina. They were all born in Garuga and then on the reserve. Then I got shipped off, moved over to Brewarrina, the missionary, Dodge City. Mum lived there, her and her brothers and sisters, and they all moved to Sydney. My old man, he's from Moree. They all grew up on the mission, the Miai. And then they were born in Moree, but in, a very segregated part and time of Moree. And especially back then, it was very common for Aboriginal people, Aboriginal women to give birth in separate sections, to non-Aboriginal women. But so my old man's from Moree, mum's from Brewarrina. Northern New South Wales and Southern Queensland, our nations are situated.
And you've lived in two very prominent cities with Aboriginal communities, both Sydney and Brisbane.
Yes. Yeah, very fortunate enough to, live in Sydney. Born in Blacktown, I grew up in Mount Druitt, St. Mary's. Mum still lives in Katoomba. Have families scattered all through New South Wales. But then moved up here in 97, went to the Murray School. Shout out to the Murray School. In 97, we went there. So I went there from year 2 to year 7, and then from year 8 to year 12, went to Sunnybank High. Yeah, so they've been in Brizzy for quite some time, we consider ourselves, Brisbane Blacks and part of the Brisbane Blacks community. Yeah.
Deadly. Oh, well, why stop now? I feel like asking another half a dozen questions. Get to know Bo Spirum segment. Yeah. But, we've got plenty of time for that as you're a regular host on the show. But I wanted to talk about, it seems like every Tuesday you can just about have a show on stuff that goes on on Q&A. Mm-hmm. They had an Indigenous artist by the name of Dan Sultan, a very well-known Aboriginal artist, singer-songwriter, who was on the show last night, and talking about a lot of topics that have been at the foremost of a lot of people's mind over the last sort of, 2 to 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those topics, Bo, that I think I'd be interested to get your thoughts on is they're calling it a desecration of a monument to Captain Cook.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know of this statue? To start with,
I've never seen the statue personally.
I don't have a personal relationship
with the statue or the person who the statue is based upon.
So it's a statue of Captain Cook.
Yep.
That's in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where in Sydney it is,
mm-hmm.
but it's in Sydney, and it's essentially one sentence, and it says Captain James Cook discovered 1770 or something along those lines, and somebody has come along with spray paint and spray painted "No Pride in Genocide."
Yep, mm-hmm. and changed that I think on one of the other sides as well. I think.
All right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's caused quite a bit of an uproar and a considerable commentary. Mainstream media's picked it up. I think they had a yarn on Sunrise on the weekend and during the week.
I heard about that.
Yeah, and I think even the Today Show and other mobs like that. But I wanted to get your thoughts and views. I mean, this comes from, a younger person, and I guess there has been a sort of bit of a resurgence or an increase in young people who engage in activism, and this sort of I wonder what you would call it, street art as a form of activism. Yeah, what's your thoughts when you sort of see not only what's happened to the statue, but the reaction of people to the statue?
Well, you know, I think that it's like the reaction's funny in terms of, you know, it's I guess it's the first time, you know, blackfellas have been slammed publicly for desecrating, you know, something that's supposedly sacred to, you know, whitefellas.
But do we know that he's Aboriginal, this fellow who did it?
Is he Aboriginal?
I don't know.
Mm.
I don't think they know. I don't think they've caught him.
Yeah, like, he might even be a whitefella.
That's right.
Yes. But yeah, you know, it's funny, you know, to sort of, you know, it says a lot, you know, about how, you know, media wants to portray certain historical monuments within this country and the narrative that pushes, you know, oh, you know, you can't desecrate somebody that founded this country, but you can desecrate, you know, rock art, you know, that's, you know, if you want to put a time to it, you know, 60,000 years old. Yeah, you know, I find it funny and that there, and you know, like when you look at sort of like the birth of street art and graffiti, like, you know, like when we're talking about the origins of hip hop, you know, it came, you know, came out as you know, young black, young white people, young Latino people, you know, claiming back, you know, parts of their neighborhood. Parts of the street, you know, places where the, you know, their people have lived for hundreds of years within sort of, you know, like New York and stuff, you know, claiming back a part of, you know, what they believe is theirs, you know, and also saying, you know, like, you know, we can turn, you know, whatever monument into our canvas, you know, and I think, you know, the same thing for our people as well, you know, like, you know, whether or not, you know, that was a blackfella, you know, like they understand the importance, you know, you know, they understand the significance, you know, that Captain Cook calls to our people, you know, and for that person to go do that, you know, like, but actually, funny thing, last year, it wasn't Captain Cook, it was Macquarie, you know, like a bunch of fellas desecrated that there, chucked paint on it, written the exact same thing, you know, no pride in genocide, you know, but I think because, you know, the way time has treated Captain Cook, you know, it's become a more of a significant, you know, thing to look at, and also because it's in that debate of, you know, change the date, abolish Australia Day as well.
It, we've seen the same sort of stuff go on in America, and it's quite. Well, we saw it, you know, streamed across the world. The sort of clashes and rallies that were held immediately. It was council action in that instance of removing.
And it was one at night time too.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night, they were coming in with trucks, and then they were boarding the statues up so nobody could come and, you know, like, destroy them and stuff.
It was, but I mean, they sort of did the same thing. Now, granted, this isn't a public sort of, it's not a public authority that is taking down or removing statues, but it is this sort of, I guess, attack, or it is this sort of action against or questioning. People have for a long time held as fact and history truth, you know. And so there is this growing, I guess, this growing voice of people that are saying, well, you know, the history that we've been taught is not 100% accurate.
Yeah.
And it is, I guess, part of a larger discussion and a larger debate. And to go back to Q&A, last night they were talking about Stan Grant's comments about this statue and what it means, and that we do have to fix some of the things in history. From what you're saying, it sounds like that there are people who are in these neighborhoods and are people who, you know, engage in street art and those sorts of things that are in their own way trying to say that we need to have this conversation, we need to have this yarn. Is that a fair, you know, statement?
Definitely, of course it is. You know, I guess you just look through, you know, throughout time, you know, and a certain generation of people will say, hey, enough is enough. You know, we saw it in, you know, the 60s with the freedom rides here. And then sort of after that in the 70s, you know, when Aboriginal people sort of, you know, were released, you know, were somewhat released from shackles of being in communities, and they went to these cities, and they said, "Hold up, you know, like, you know, we're getting, you know, we're getting treated the same in the cities as we was in the, you know, on these missions and reserves, you know, like we need, you know, we need our services, you know." So these fellows said, you know, like, let's put this together. This generation said, you know, we need to change, you know, our lives and, you know, like the discussion that's being had around our lives, and they did it, you know. And we saw, you know, for like 30 to 40 years, you know, like this somewhat, you know, like massive movement, you know, in terms of changing the lives of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, you know. And then, you know, in the 90s, it sort of, you know, it sort of started to trickle away, you know, like from this whole progressive movement, you know, from the 70s and the 80s, you know. And then nowadays, you know, a lot of the younger generation are saying, hey, you know, like they're actually starting to realise and sort of, you know, like we've got the opportunity now to sort of articulate, you know, how, you know, what is going on. And because of, you know, like, because of things like the internet, we can sort of say, you know, like we can contact, you know, we can talk to people around the world and say, ask them what's going on there, ask them what's going on around the world, you know. But then also realize that, you know, the same thing is happening here. And then this generation, just like, you know, the generation before us, sort of saying, you know, we want to take back, you know, what is ours, and, you know, like we think this is wrong, and, you know, like we might not be right in saying it our way, but, you know, this is the best way we can articulate, you know, what we're feeling at the moment. And if it's desecrating, you know, a Captain Cook sign, or if it's, you know, 40,000 people, or, you know, 1,000 people around the country saying, you know, like invasion, 26 January is wrong, then, you know, like that's the best way I think it is, you know, for our generation to articulate, you know, what's going on.
And look, we'll get it straight for everybody that's listening. We're not telling people to go out and do that, but we are sort of trying to understand, you know, what is the sentiment that sort of, you know, motivates people to take those sort of steps. I've seen paint down here in West End.
Mm. The Aboriginal flag down here at the section there.
Yeah, in the intersection. Mm-hmm. There's also some tags, I think it's no justice, no peace.
Yeah.
You call it justice. You say justice, we say murder. For Doherty. So it is, you know, there is this sort of, I guess, practice or there is this form of expression that does go on, particularly in places like, you know, Brisbane, Sydney, in urban areas where there are young, politically minded sort of, I don't want to say just young people, but for people, you know.
Yeah. And you know, at that as well, you know, after that stuff that happened in Western Australia in Kalgoorlie with the young brother, you know, that we had, there was white fellas, you know, putting up SWAT stickers and, you know, all these things as well. You know, I just wanted to mention that as well, you know, like,
but it's not just Aboriginal or people who support, you know, some of our causes that do this sort of stuff. There is sort of alt-right groups that do this as well.
Yeah, you know, like putting up, you know, SWAT stickers, KKK, hate Aboriginals.
That's like gang signs sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little bit concerning, you know. You look at what's happened over in the US.
Mm-hmm.
You look at what's happened over in the US, you know, it was quite public that there was one person who passed away during those demonstrations. And that sort of stuff, very violent clashes. I'd like to think that, you know, that we're a bit more sensible here.
And in lots of states in America, they're allowed to carry guns and, like, you know, different types of, you know, like heavy, you know, semi-automatics, whatever it's called, openly as well. And lots of these fellas, you know, lots of these white nationalists, they actually go to these rallies. And actually there was where was it? I think it was 2 years ago when all those ranch owners wanted to get their land back. I think it was like a couple of hundred, and they all, you know, had machine guns, you know, like all different types of weapons, all dressed in military gear, you know, because I think it was one of the states wanted to change the laws around like a national park that took in some of their land. And then so all these white fellas got together. They had literally armed standoff with the coppers.
Oh, I do recall this. Yeah.
It was Bundy. I've got the name of the place. But, yeah, these And actually, they actually got off.
Yeah.
Just recently, they were let off from any charges.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, like the double standards.
Yeah. We might take a quick break for a song. And when we come back, I want to keep talking about this because there were some comments made last night. And I want to talk about sort of, you know, that sense of where a lot of non-Indigenous people and how they feel about this debate and sort of ask you a few questions around that. But that's when we come back. We're going to take a break for a couple of songs. We'll be back shortly.
Thank you.
Watson with Let's Talk.
This is Carver Watson and you are listening to Let's Talk, and we're joined by another Let's Talk usual
host.
Yeah. I just had a mind blank then.
Yeah.
joining us in the studio, Mr. Bo Spearham, and mate, we've been talking about Q&A, but a bit about, you know, what was sort of behind a lot of the discussions in Q&A last night. And Dan Sultan was on there, and he had some, you know, expressed his views around Australia Day, which is sort of tying into this debate around, you know, these different versions of history, you know, that for a lot of particularly Aboriginal people know exist. But for a lot of non-Indigenous people, they aren't as familiar with this history. And I can speak from first-hand experience. You know, I've been in rooms and classrooms with, you know, undergrad uni students who are told about the history of this country, and they are hearing it for the first time. and I can tell, and they openly say,
genuinely,
they openly say that they were not aware of this history.
Mm-hmm.
And you get quite often very strong and mixed emotions from people who are learning a lot of this stuff for the first time. But we're still having this conversation on a bigger scale, on a larger scale, on a sort of, you know, on a countrywide and a national level. And we see this sort of stuff come up with the desecration or the sort of spray painting of a statue of Captain Cook. You mentioned another one, a statue of Macquarie.
Macquarie, yeah, down there in Sydney, yeah.
Yeah. And so at times like this, we see this unresolved issue of these different, I guess, accounts of history. And, I mean, there's a lot of people out there, Bo, that will say that that talking about this history is a form of guilt politics. We heard George Brandis last night talk about the blemishes, a very famous word, blemishes in our history, famous by John Howard during the reconciliation dinner where the mob turned their back on him. You know, this history needs to be seen for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And more than just a blemish. But I want your views. When people say that this history is used as a form of guilt politics, what's your thoughts on that?
You know, I think that especially, you know, like when you have somebody, you know, like Brandis and he's on a platform like that, you know, or John Howard at that at least, you know, they need to be held to some form of accountability when it comes to, you know, speaking about our history and our treatment, you know, because they play a massive part in, you know, controlling that narrative that still continues to deny, you know, those so-called blemishes in, you know, Australian history. You know, they play that narrative to keep it that way. The views of old white men have always, you know, generally been the same. You know, like we've always survived, you know, within this country, you know, relying on our old, you know, our old elders and our old people on, you know, their thoughts and, you know, like what, you know, matters. But I guess like, yeah, when it's a public forum, like something like Q&A or, you know, a dinner, you know, down at Parliament, you know, I think that, you know, there needs to be, you know, it just opens up and just says what kind of people that, you know, Brandis is. But, you know, like, you know, like you were saying earlier, you know, just before about those kids, you know, university students, you know, I sort of, you know, like say, yeah, that's all, you know, like you sort of sympathize with that. But, you know, like there should be a time within their lives where, you know, that they actually take the front foot and start to actually educate themselves about, you know, what happened and about, you know, I guess how life has been so easy for them within this country. But, yeah, no, I think that
And there are a lot of people who do that, Bo.
Mm.
There are a lot of people who do go out of their way to sort of educate themselves and little things like, you know, mob will go and want to know who the local mob are for their local school or for their, you know, their local neighbourhood and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people want to call it guilt politics, but the fact remains that, you know, one could argue that that we are having these conversations and we are starting to talk about the history of this place and the history of this country since 1788, we don't actually take stock of the gains, you know. We're actually seeing people now start to recognise and talk about, you know, changing the date. We're actually seeing, you know, we're seeing a lot of people and a lot of large corporations in the private sector wanting to work closer with Aboriginal people, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and wanting to form genuine partnerships and relationships with, you know, community organisations or blackfellow businesses. One must have to wonder that, you know, is it really guilt politics, or are we actually, when we actually talk about this history and acknowledge, you know, our history, that we actually do form some better understanding.
Yeah,
and some more meaningful sense of what it means or what a true relationship between Aboriginal and non-Indigenous people mean in this country.
Yeah, totally. You know, and I think that you know, calling it guilt politics, you know, is just an easy way to sort of, you know,
not have to recognize it.
Yeah, that's it, you know. And then, you know, if they want to, you know, go down that line of actually doing the right thing about talking about it, sort of, you know, you know, they become less relevant in the conversation then. You know, and these people want to be as relevant to sort of, you know, sort of steer that narrative, you know, to stay in their, you know, very, very powerful positions of privilege and stuff. But yeah, you know, like there's heaps of people, you know, and that are literally genuine, you know, that want to, you know, sit down with our mob, you know, and learn, which is deadly, you know, and I commend those fellas.
And there are people who are wealthy individuals who are willing to sit down and talk with our mob and want to work with our mob and, you know, see our people take a rightful place in this country.
Definitely, you know, I think...
And so it's not to say that, you know, just because you may be white or middle class that you somehow, you know, fall into this category of people who look down at Aboriginal people. There's a lot of people right across this country that are willing to sit and listen. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to have disagreements.
And that's just normal, to have a disagreement, have an argument. You know, that's the fastest way we can get to, you know, moving forward.
And it is an uncomfortable conversation for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that again last night. Now, I want to actually play you something that Dan said last night on Q&A. So for all the listeners out there, this was Dan Sultan last night talking, and he was asked about a song that they that he wrote with a group called AB Original, which is two hip-hop artists by the name of Briggs.
And Trials, I think,
yeah.
Or Birds. Was that the same person?
Trials, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, right.
But yeah, here's Dan Sultan on Q&A last night.
You appear prominently in a music video that's sort of become a bit of an anthem for the Change the Date movement. Mm. The subtext of it seems to be that Australia Day has become a bit racist. Is that what you think?
Well, Australia Day has always been racist. And I don't think it's a subtext. I think it's pretty straight up about it. You know, that's written by Briggs, Trials and myself. And, you know, we've been brothers for a long time and we've played in front of many people at once and, you know, just played for ourselves as well. And, you know, it's a very special thing. Look, I think it's a great song, even if you didn't know what we were talking about. I mean, it's a great beat. You know, the January 26th is, you know, I mean, it's a day of mourning for us. And for people not to recognise that or to say that it doesn't matter, you know, that we feel that way, and not just Aboriginal people, a lot of people feel that way about it. Is disrespectful, and I think it is racist, and I think it we need to have a bit of a look at ourselves, and, you know, that's okay. There are a lot of beautiful things about this country.
That was Dan Sultan on Q&A last night. And what that grab didn't show is, or didn't sort of indicate, was George Brandis was asked for his comment immediately after, and he went on to say that, you know, as we know, the political response to this Change the Date debate is not about changing the date, but how do we make it more inclusive?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we actually, or how can this day become more, I guess, embraced right across the board for all people who call Australia home? What as a young Aboriginal man, and, you know, somebody who's involved particularly in the local community here with a lot of demonstrations and rallies and the like, what is your sense of changing the date? Is there ever, in your view, from discussions and dialogue that you're part of, is there any sort of opportunity for that date to ever be celebrated by Aboriginal people?
No, I don't, like... From a personal point of view, no, I don't. I don't think there is, you know, because I'm sure if you map out, you know, a 12-month period, you know, I'm sure you're going to find a massacre or something that, you know, occurred on that date. You know, like back down home in Angles 1838, sorry, on the 26th of January, that's when they had the Waterloo Creek Massacre, just out, you know, not outside of Moree, not far, you know. Yeah, like I just wanted to bring that up, you know, because I think it's important, you know, to sort of realise that, you know, on many different days, you know, there are things that have occurred and still continue to happen, you know, to Aboriginal, you know, people today. And, you know, I think, you know, the discussion of change the date is a good discussion because, you know, it gives, half of the time it gives, you know, the opportunity for blackfellas to have that discussion and to get involved in that discussion. Unlike, you know, like we saw over the weekend and stuff with Sunrise and, you know, these big, big news stations, you know, sort of control that debate with themselves and stuff. But, you know, like on one hand, you know, like, The fact that you know whitefellas and councils, you know, throughout Australia are talking about that's a sign, and you know, like that's, you know, that sort of, you know, begs to differ to ask an Aboriginal person whether they should just abolish the day altogether. Yeah, and I'm one to say abolish, you know, the 26th of January. I don't think that, you know, at the moment, I don't think ever there's ever a place for, you know, such a day like this. When, you know, we're talking about, like, I'm not talking about anything that happened, you know, over 100 years ago. I'm talking about stuff that still continues today. You know, I think it's almost been exactly just over a year now that, you know, we lost the young brother Elijah. you know, so, you know, like that, I think that still needs to be a national discussion. And, like there's still a lot of things that, you know, how people deal with day to day, you know, instead of asking, you know, Aboriginal people what day do you want to celebrate, should ask Aboriginal people, oh, you know, like, what's actually going on, you know, yeah.
There was, I laugh because there was some really interesting comments by Jackie Lambie last night, and mm-hmm. one of them was about, there are bigger fish to fry. that we need to be talking about real outcomes and things that create real change, mm-hmm. not just this change the date.
I think I briefly saw that there, and she was mentioning close the gap and stuff.
Yeah. And so, I mean, in some respects, it's exactly what you're talking about. But I mean, it is part of a broader conversation as well. And you know, it's you know, symbolism mm-hmm. is important. You know, mm-hmm. love or hate the apology. Mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people have different views about it, but it was something, you know.
Yeah.
It was a point at which we zeroed in and looked at the history of this country mm-hmm. and had a conversation. Yeah. Now, there's lots of pros, there's lots of cons, but you have that.
Yeah.
You know, you get mm-hmm. that when you mm-hmm. move through and you sort of, you know, and you have that uncomfortable conversation mm-hmm. of dealing with, mm-hmm. You know, our history and the trauma and the like. So, mm-hmm. It is important to have these conversations. What does it mean? What does that date mean?
Yeah, and like, you know, I think that in the last 230 years, white people haven't felt uncomfortable, you know, as much as we have, you know, as Aboriginal people within this country. You know, I think, you know, I might be wrong, but you know, I think, you know, there's a, you know, throughout a day, you know, I think there's multiple times when blackfellas feel uncomfortable, you know, whether they're switching on a TV, a radio, you know, the radio, not necessarily this radio, no. But, you know, like, yeah, you know, like there's multiple times, you know, that a blackfella feels uncomfortable and unsafe, you know, when they watch TV, when they walk down the streets and how people look at us and, you know, how police profile us or, you know, like I think these things got to be... You know, like white people need to feel uncomfortable, you know, to sort of, you know, somewhat have that, you know, to even try and feel the way we feel, you know, with what's been going on before they actually, you know, want to sort of, you know, direct the conversation about how they feel, you know, about a statue or you know.
But just because we talk about that doesn't mean that all those other issues are not important.
No.
You know, those things are important, you know, and there are a lot of our community control services that do work very hard and do a lot of good work in dealing with the health needs of our people right across the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you spoke earlier about the different periods throughout our history, particularly in our community, mm-hmm. of when, you know, of activism mm-hmm. and but also capacity building. Well, our mob, you know, we know here in Brisbane through the 70s and 80s mm-hmm. were, you know, we developed our health services, we developed our legal services, we developed our housing services, we developed this place, you know, our media service. And so we've always worked at fixing things and changing things for our people. But that doesn't mean there we stop talking about, you know, these important issues and how we continue to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we still get resistance, and I guess that's to be expected, as there was resistance then, and I guess, you know, in some respects there always will be resistance.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to talk to you briefly about this sentiment. There was another comment last night on Q&A by a woman who had recently returned from London. You know, she grew up here in Australia, and she, you know, she expressed that, you know, during her upbringing they were very respectful and of, you know, Indigenous people and the history of this mm-hmm. country before Europeans arrived, but said that she felt a sense of alienation in a lot of places that she now calls home, with mm-hmm. people speaking other languages, and, you know, in her suburbs having signs in other languages with English translations.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stuff that, you know, Hansen and those sorts of people talk about, this changing mm-hmm. of cultures in this country. What is your, when you hear people talk about the particularly, you know, what we'd call, you know, multiple generation of Australian, I don't know, sixth, seventh, or fourth, or fifth, whatever you like, talk about this sense of losing their Australian identity. Well, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that, like, it's, you know, like, white people are very, very happy to sort of, you know, love and appreciate the notion of what blackfellas was and what they think blackfellas are, but they don't want to accept the reality of what they've made blackfellas to be. You know, you know, like
they like that image of the noble savage, or, you know, these primitive people.
Yeah. But, you know, like, they don't want to accept, you know, like, the reality of what, you know, like, they've made our people into being. You know, like, like with, what is it? Yeah, you know, like the fact that, you know, like, different signs and whatnot are different language, you know, you know, like, has she forgotten the period of time when blackfellas are penalised and punished severely, you know, for speaking language and, you know, for having anything like that? You know, like these whitefellas, they're very, very pleased and happy to have that, you know, to romanticise what an Aboriginal is, you know, but they're very, very cautious and very, they steady fast to, you know, about the realities of what blackfellas are. And I think, like, they dream of what blackfellas are, but, you know, like, they don't want to accept the reality of where they pushed our people, you know. And what is it I was trying to think of? I just had a mind blank, sorry.
That's right. Hey, okay.
That's right. Yeah. There was a comment that sort of echoes almost exactly your sentiments by one of the panel members, who sort of said to her that, look, you know, take on board what you're saying, but let's not pretend that ever since Europeans arrived in this country that there was any, that English was ever the only language spoken, you know. And in fact, there have been dozens, if not hundreds of languages that have become extinct because of European arrival to this country. And does that, you know, it poses a question. Do you feel the same way, you know, about that? I'd imagine not, but again, it's this two different histories. You know, on the one hand, it's the history that that a lot of people remember and were told about the peaceful settlement of this country, and I say that with quotation marks in my hands that you can't see out there. But and the history of invasion.
Yes.
And again, we come back to this. It needs to be settled. You know, there needs to be some form of. There needs to be some form of truth and conciliation process.
Yes.
Where we sit down and we actually sort out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we accept and recognise what the true history of this country was.
Yes, definitely.
Otherwise, people are still going to keep arguing.
Mm-hmm.
People will continue to argue the toss. People will continue to have conflict, and that we're going to have continue to be divided about things that that should not be up for discussion, that we actually should be looking to what brings us together.
You know, all you'll be seeing things like, you know, like, are things going to be worse than just, you know, desecrating a Catholic cook sign? You know, is it going to get worse than that? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to keep pushing, a certain demographic of people, making them put their backs against the wall, like, you keep pushing and prodding and, you know, people are going to push back and stuff, that's just, what is it? Human
nature, yeah. But I want to finish up with a song by AB Original and Paul Kelly to finish up today. It'll run into the news. So, brother, thank you for your time today.
No, all good, Carl. Thanks for that.
No worries. And make sure you tune in tomorrow to Let's Talk. This is a song with AB Original, Dan Sultan and Paul Kelly. You've been listening to Let's Talk. We'll be back tomorrow.
Strangers to the show. I'm the one who should be lying low. Saw the knives out, turned my back. Heard the train coming, stayed right on that track.
To my brothers down there in Dundale, dealing with that disaster, that them guards are there and not jail. Thinking we getting that welfare, huh? Thinking we getting that healthcare, huh? Think about if it was your son. Now think about sending some help there. Yeah, what's dumber than that, mate? What's dumber than dressing up blackface? What's dumber than doing it knowing it hurts and don't even work to make that change? Let's go.
In the middle, in the middle, in the middle of a dream, I lost my shit.
Seeking asylum, we got silence for the ones who don't confine me. If you're complacent to the words of a racist, don't you dare complain with. That's what's leading your nation. Send in the clowns, they're black facing. They're looking at cousins, they're looking at brothers, but they ain't leaving the station. The date's changing.
In the middle, in the middle, in the middle of a dream.
Gentlemen on the keys and drums, Mr. John, Mr. Paul Bartlett, aka 6'4". On the guitar, my brother Dan Sultan. And to my right, Mr. Paul Kelly. Yeah, them dumb things lumped in, looking for peace but won't find it. They holding us back from closing the gap by keeping them close-minded. See, no surprises there, hearing both of them sirens blare. Them coppers where I'm from, I climbed a fair. If you climbed a fair,
what's a world commission? To the ones who live on a mission, to the ones who's killed by the system, for the ones that's meant to assist them. At the hands of policemen, who's gonna police them? They're killing those groupies that got it on footage. They need to release them.
In the middle, in the middle, in the middle of a dream, I lost my shirt, I pawned my ring. I've done all that dumb thing.
Mr. John Bartlett.
Dumb.